Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Sierra Tyrell, Maltriestri, Erin Kanani, Jonas Hallstrom, Holly, Neon Grey, Tessely Ake, Joey, Danielle Masterson, Catherine Sims. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 122 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell. With me today, I have...
I'm not angry, I'm just sad. Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Grizzondrick at Amsterdam.
Hamidullah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sasha, who's asking?
And Azu.
And things are afoot. Specifically, combat with cloaked figures in Rome and mattresses. I believe.
Bedding.
It is bedding. To break with tradition, I'm actually going to finish combat, if that's okay with you, Ben. This is a genuine question, because normally I would immediately come away from the combat, but given where it is, I feel like I probably should carry on with the combat.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Podcast is over, and it's Ben's fault, but that's okay.
Nailed it!
Does anybody want to come around to my place and play Mario Kart?
Actually, I'm really in need of a D&D group now, so...
He's taking open auditions. Wait, D&D not Pathfinder? Fifth?
Oh.
I'm in.
I'll be your best supporter, Alex. Right, so I am actually going to pick up immediately where we left off without a proper recap today. Sasha.
Yep.
It's all changed and the patterns are gone. Bad day.
Don't like, need pattern. But I can't see anyone down there, can I?
You can see Azu and you can see Hamid.
I assume that it's too far down for me to jump.
Yes.
So I...
mean, no, you possibly could survive.
Given what...
Please don't jump.
Given my knowledge of how the building is shaped, is there a thing for me to run out and back in again?
Tie a rope really quickly and rappel.
Oh, that's true.
You could do that. That'd be the quickest way down, actually.
That'd be one round to tie the rope.
And then you'd be down in the next round.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're looking at multiple for you to follow down a route.
Yeah, but then I could maybe find the hostages.
Also fair. Yeah.
I'm going to split the party, Alex.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to look for the hostages.
That's absolutely fine. In which case, yours is going to have to be Theatre of the Mind, because I cannot do multi-layered battle maps yet.
That's cool.
Yet. Oh. Azu, you're up.
I'm going to... You said a thing about charging and then smacking.
They've moved apart, so you can't hit them both now.
Well, I'm still going to charge and smack this one.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm going to do that.
Murder.
Yes. My move is murder.
Don't forget your thing that lets you hit far, far too hard.
Oh, I never forget
that's
that.
That's a damage roll.
Okay, so...
Roll the attack. You get +2 for charging.
Roll badly, please.
No.
She did not.
That's 26?
Yeah.
Oop, oop.
Are you sure it's not a lower number?
That's a hit. Roll 2d12, adds... what's your damage bonus? 6? 2d12, add 6.
Yes. Let's hope that I don't roll really badly like I did the last time I tried to do this.
It's not bad.
Yes!
Not
bad.
12, 18 damage total.
Decidedly average. Well done.
The creature that you're facing off on reaches out towards you.
Oh no! I don't want it to touch me. It's got tentacles and weird things.
You're assuming. You don't know.
That's what it sounds like.
Octoda.
What is your touch AC?
Nobody suspects.
That's a new thing. Let me scrutinise my sheet.
Should be...
9.
Yeah. Bad.
Yep. It reaches out and goes, and then its hand touches your breastplate right in the middle.
Okay, on the chest.
On the chest armor.
For the audio use your words, yeah.
On the chest armor.
Whacks his squiddy hands right on your jabbies.
Oh. I presume
as
that you take.
As it definitely insta kills.
I presume you take an attack of opportunity.
Of course. 18.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Plus whatever.
Your normal attack bonus.
Okay, so that's fine. 20.
You hit.
Rolling a mere
11 more damage.
The creature is really, really badly hit and has to make its concentration check. It makes the concentration check.
Yes.
Okay.
You take 9 damage.
That's okay.
Specifically.
Oh no.
It reaches out and onto your breastplate. You feel your breastplate go cold. Very cold. I mean, it's already cold in here because, as we established, you're in the shade and the spotlight is helping, but it's still darker and colder in the shadows. And yeah, it goes colder, and you feel your life's warmth being suctioned out through the chest plate, and it feels weakening is the best description I can give. It's not sharp pain. It's not an agony. It just feels like it's taking something essential from you.
Chris. That's a lovely description. Is Azu weakened?
Azu does not have the condition weakened, and cool. Azu has not been drained, I would mention,
was
if that was the case.
Was it necrotic damage?
Ooh.
I don't want that.
That sounds gross.
Because I think you should declare the damage type if it's a type of damage. Because we have resistances and spells and things.
Technically, yes. I do have to announce that it's a necrotic damage.
Just, I don't know if we do, but sometimes, you know, paladin.
I know
stuff,
that Azu doesn't.
Okay, we might have spells and stuff which are like protect against
necrotic. At later levels as a paladin, you can be like, that thing doesn't hurt me. Why? Because it doesn't.
Because it's
hurt.
Evil and I'm
good.
Yeah.
Because I'm a good boy and a good girl.
Although I would mention, Helen, that this, if you can talk to your god, this now might be a good time to smite evil because these things are definitely.
I am considering.
Hamid, you are up.
Hamid moves from. He's still sort of in the entrance to this huge room. He's skirting at a nice safe distance the big wibbly wobbly tear in space time, and he's slowly following Azu, trying to get a general sense of the layout of the situation. So he moves to the corridor which Azu has run down,
mm-hmm.
and presumably can see the two squiddy figures.
Yes.
But he can't really see past Azu to get a spell off, so he's going to stop and look around the rest of the room and try and take stock of the rest of the situation.
So, the atrium extends a bit further down and then effectively reaches what can be considered a dead end, as the back half of the building has collapsed in, as we said previously. There is a corridor which runs immediately opposite to the one that's currently full of people. That appears to be empty. You notice that no matter what angle you approach the wibbly wobbly, it always seems to be facing you.
Where did Ed go?
Into the weird thing.
There you go! Come back talking. It's weird.
Into the weird thing. So I would like to take my standard action to study the weird thing more closely, this time without so many distractions.
That's fine. I'll let you pick between Spellcraft or Knowledge Arcana. They're both applicable.
They're the same role for me, but I pick Knowledge Arcana because Spellcraft is what I used last time.
Yeah, that's fine.
30.
I like the times when he just says numbers, but like he's offended.
So
it's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. You reckon you have a solid idea of what that is? It might be educated guess. It might be a gate spell that's broken in a very strange way you've never seen before. Meanwhile, the creature which is furthest back from Azu steps forward. Behind one square, its ally.
Sure.
It reaches out and touches them.
Nice, yeah.
At
probably
which point,
them or something.
There is Azu.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
No, I don't want to see you anymore.
Helen's
doesn't happen. Helen's just
if
hiding behind
see it. No.
So
everyone's fine.
Azu,
everyone's
what you
fine.
See is the creature in front that was touching you retracts its hand. Turns to its ally in some kind. There is a big sort of bright shine of light in your eyes. Something like, what's the word? A peal of thunder, that's the word I was looking for. There's a peal of thunder immediately in front of you and the two are gone.
Damn.
They are just gone.
No smiting for me.
Swing your axe through the space just in case they're still there but invisible.
Sasha.
Yep, looking around.
You immediately have seen that there is a route down from the roof down into the highest floor, about the fourth floor. So, yeah, heading down, start heading along it. Give me a perception check. I realise that I'm getting a bit wibbly wobbly in terms of things, but
it's a wibbly wobbly in the middle.
Yeah, it was wibbly wobbly all over the place.
That is 24.
24?
Yep.
You hear from the floor below you, not the atrium, the distinct sounds of rushed movements.
Going there, but sneaky like.
You can see that you will be able to drop down.
Yep.
Because there's a chunk of floor missing from a nearby room in from the corridor that you're in. You can literally see there is a hole in the floor.
Nice.
Like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 style, where there's just holes in the floor sometimes.
Yeah.
Give me a stealth check to drop down. It will use all of your move actions to get there, though.
Oh, that's a natural one.
Okay.
Jumping! Clatter!
You make not a sound. You approach the hole in the floor, and as you are jumping down, there's a... from the floor that you're about to jump to.
Okay.
A peal of, like, thunder underneath.
Yep.
You drop down to an empty corridor? Maybe? And I'm now going to tip my hand a little bit. By dropping you all out of initiative order. And returning to Grizzop, where all the exciting bedding-based action is happening.
Hello.
Oh, that's a different
Grizzop, so you find yourself... effectively in what appears to be a very crudely hewn tunnel that appears to be looping back towards the pub.
I'll go down it.
Sure, makes sense. It is dark, obviously doesn't affect you in any way. You see... give me a perception check, actually. I overuse these, I realise. I need to ease up on them.
But you're not going to.
No.
Ten.
There's been recent foot traffic here. So it's not like an abandoned, no one's been here in ages kind
of
deal.
I hope so. I'm here to see someone.
There is a door at the other end, and a small amount of light is coming through, like, chinks in the door and so on. By your estimation, you might actually be under the pub. So...
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Knock, knock, knock.
As you reach up, there's the muffled sounds of conversation, which immediately stop as you knock.
Hello, here to see the Harlequins. Was let in by your friend out front. Oh, I've got a letter.
Push it under the door.
Everyone goes quiet. There's, a good little chunk of time. You see the letters pushed back under the door, back to you. Go away!
No! I need to get to Rome.
The door opens, revealing a extremely elderly woman. She is positively, like, hunched over with age. She just opens it going, why? Ah! And then closes the door and you hear it locking.
What?
Right.
Oh, no.
Say bye to your kneecaps, Granny.
Okay, so is this door quite sturdy or not?
No, not at all. You could kick it in. I wouldn't require a roll.
I kick in the door.
Yeah, you kick in the door and the woman who's behind it.
Oh, no.
She falls backwards, revealing... I want you to imagine... Kiddie's first revolutionary group.
Aww.
By which I mean, it's so amateurish as to be laughable. There is a board laid out on the barrels in the middle of the room with, like, a map of Damascus and like, red string and little notes of in Arabic, presumably. And you can see that they're literally in the pub. The beer cellar, sorry. But a group of people have sat on old kegs around this table. One of them appears to be maybe 14 at best. Another one of them appears to be possibly the husband or something similar of the person that the woman that answered the door. And then you see someone behind the door who is quite a burly, hefty-looking woman who is halfway through cleaning a glass, and they're all staring at you terrified.
Right, any of you speak English? No. Any of you speak Goblin? No. Any of you speak Dutch?
I speak English.
She just told you to go away.
Says the woman underneath the door that you're standing on.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about you. Right. So, I got told you might know how to get me to Rome.
We surrender.
I'm not here to arrest you, Harlequin Watsits. I don't care about this.
You should.
Don't try and recruit me, okay?
I'm just saying, you know... The plight of all peoples is shared.
No, well, yes, but also not relevant right now. I need to get to Rome. I need to get to Rome now. I was told you could take me to Rome if you are, in fact, the Harlequin group that I was told are under this pub. And you're under this pub, which means you're the Harlequin, so get me to Rome.
The woman kind of stops, takes a moment to process that. turns to the others. They all start having a conversation in Arabic. She turns back. What? Why?
Because my friends are there and I need to go help them.
I mean, one sec, they turn around. More conversation.
I vibrate.
She turns back. So were you a Harlequin or not?
Let's say yes.
Prove it.
Viva la revolution! I don't like the meritocrats. Dragons are d***.
That's another hurried conversation. Prove it more. Prove it better.
I have this letter.
Oh, what did you do to him?
Nothing. I'll give him some water. Do you want some water?
You've got water.
Well, actually... no, not anymore. Wait, sorry.
So why are you here just asking us for favours, then? You know, I mean, the plight of all peoples is shared,
oh,
but I mean,
okay,
you are
sorry,
part of the problem,
no,
probably.
You have misunderstood. Send me to Rome, or I'll kill the lot of you.
Always directing to the point, is it?
She takes a moment, very slowly kind of gestures for everyone to huddle, and they all go heads in, and they start having a whispered conversation in Arabic.
Oh, by the way, if you try and fight me, I will still kill you all, because Paladin and you're just a group of... you.
The kid seems to be acting up, seems to be arguing, and then the adults are sort of shushing them down, and then eventually the old woman just cuffs them around the ear. You see them hand over something, and the old woman comes up and goes, "That's everything that we've got." And it's maybe 3 gold between them, mostly in, like, silvers, a couple of coppers.
"I'll give you 500 gold if you send me to Rome."
She looks really confused. "Why don't you just buy a ticket to, like, a train or an airship, then?"
"You understand what Rome is, right?"
"Well, yeah, but it could get you most of the way."
"I want to go to Rome. Now."
I mean, they all look really, really, like, scared and confused, and she's just like, "I don't know how we can do that for you."
"Is there maybe a better Harlequin base beneath this one?"
"Can you please give me a diplomacy check?"
God,
please.
I'm really good at this. Not that you tell. 16.
16. Can you lay that on a little bit thicker for me?
"Look, I don't know what kind of amateur operation you're running here, but I assume, because I was told somebody you get me Rome is beneath this pub, that you're probably sitting on top of a proper Harlequin base, and you're maybe, like, the first test. You know, like, if you go into a dungeon and you find, like, a skeleton. You're the skeleton, and I want to get to the actual monsters."
"They're a false bottom."
He's genre savvy. Completely the wrong way.
So the elderly woman, her face just turns on you, and she mutters over her shoulder in Arabic or something, and then starts prodding you in the chest, going, "We are not amateur. We're the grass roots,
right?
And those big shots, they wouldn't know a revolution if it revolved their face.
Prove it.
We will.
Prove it now by sending me to Rome."
"Yeah.
Good.
Right.
Great.
Good." She just kind of turns around and they all start huddling up again. I'm going to jump back to Rome.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You are all out of initiative order.
Azu swings her axe in the empty air, just in case.
Yeah, I am definitely going to do that.
Okay.
No. Wingness.
I move to the edge of the portal. I've looked up the gate spell. You know, I'm not going to get sucked into it. I know roughly how large it is.
Look who knows what he's dealing with now.
Now, I know it's wrong, so I'm being safe.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I'm moving to the edge of the portal, and I'm shouting into it.
That's fine.
"Ed! Ed, can you hear me? Ed!"
Sasha.
Yep.
You hear the sounds of Hamid shouting, probably sad, maybe one of them's dead.
Well, I run towards that.
Aww. Let's say that you finish shouting and Sasha turns up in the atrium. You're now all in the atrium.
Good.
There is no response from Ed, by the way.
Tie a rope round me!
Are you going to go in there?
I've got to get Ed back!
Sasha does it while Azu hesitates.
Hammond does know the difference between a PC and an NPC, you guys.
Guys, he's upper class. I've got to rescue him.
He's a friendly paladin that was helping us.
Right. Oh, okay. I feel like we have other priorities, and he's surviving.
Sasha does it while Azu hesitates. Yeah. She runs.
Hold on
time.
Tight. There should be a two-way portal.
Okay. Azu takes the rope.
I'm going to step into the gate.
Okay. I'm going to deal with the perspective from everyone else, if I may.
I'm not rushing. I'm very much gently edging through.
That's fine.
And I'm going to throw myself backwards as quickly as I am able to.
So
when it goes horribly wrong.
So Hamish starts edging forward, and you see the same thing that you saw with Ed rushing off, just slower. Like, those vibrations start to obscure Hamish a little bit. The rope is taut enough for you to, like, yank. There's not slack, but he's not, like, straining against it or anything. And just when he starts being completely obscured, the rope stops being pulled.
Uh-oh.
And just appears to be hanging there.
I'm going to pull on the rope.
Mm-hmm. You pull on the rope. Hamid, just when you're about to make it to the gate, Azu pulls you back.
Okay, good test. Well done. That seemed to work. Let's try again. Give me a little bit longer this time.
It went slack. I thought you'd been dissolved or something.
No, I hadn't made it through yet. We're going to have
Hamid,
to try a bit.
I'm going to give you a little bit of extra.
Cool.
The rope didn't go slack. Azu's overreacting.
Just give it a little bit longer this time. Maybe it will go slack. We don't know the laws of physics on that, so it could be a little different. I just need to get through so I can see if Ed's there and help him get back if he is.
Fine.
I let him go.
Okay. Azu, from your perspective, the same thing seems to happen with no difference whatsoever. Hamid, you basically start going in, and just when it seems to be clearing, you think you see someone on the... just on the far side of all this sort of swirling colour and these warped images. It looks to be Ed, mid-charge away from you, and then Azu pulled you back. Again, it feels
does
like...
Does he look frozen?
Yes.
And it's hard to tell, obviously, because of the warping.
He doesn't appear to be moving.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Good work. Yes, I think the spell has gone wrong. I think he's trapped between the two planes of existence. It's going to be really hard to rescue him.
Maybe we should rescue him later, then.
Yeah, we'll probably have to get the professor involved to help us figure it out. Let's look for everyone else now that we know he's not immediately in deathly danger.
I mean, I could lasso and pull him out.
I think that's going to be very complicated.
Maybe Hamid should start explaining what he thinks going on.
It looks like he's literally frozen on the membrane between planes and somehow trapped in a medium state between this plane and another, and therefore out of both space and time.
So he's all right?
No, but he's going to stay exactly the same amount of not all right indefinitely while this thing stays here.
All right.
All right, then.
Which way?
Well...
I shug the rope. Shug the rope off?
Shrug would work, so would shuck.
Shucking would be stabbing it, right?
No, shucking's like removing a piece of clothing.
What you do is you shuck corn. So if you shuck a rope, you destroy it. Yeah. You shuck the rope. Is that what you do?
I shrug off the rope.
Boo.
Well, we've got to be looking for the hostages, right? I haven't heard anything, so they will have heard this.
Yeah.
They could even be anywhere. They could have left Rome with them.
Well,
we've got to explore the rest of this building, I guess.
The ones I saw ran down here. I point down this, the corridor that I'd gone down.
Good place to start.
Start that direction.
So you all start searching together? Or do you all maybe split up, you know, cover more ground?
We'll stick together.
Sure you don't want to cover more ground?
No.
Sure you don't want to split up?
We're fine, Ellie.
Hush, naughty voice.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage?
Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
And welcome back. So I'm going to join back with Grizzop.
Hello.
So they are all starting to have a more and more heated argument.
Okay. Oh, while they're arguing, I'm going to rifle around in my bag, walk up to them and put 100 gold on the table.
They start arguing more fervently than ever, with the occasional when the younger one keeps reaching out.
Oh. Put another 100 gold on the table.
But it exacerbates the situation.
Oh. I'll put another 100 gold on the table.
So.
I don't know if the carrot's working. Try the stick.
No.
The reverse happens at this point, and they all go very, very quiet and then look to you expectantly.
I'll start taking coins off one by one. And put
the argument starts really big, really quickly, and they're all starting to argue.
I will keep doing this for as long as it takes. Now, there are 300 gold pieces now.
You got time. You got time.
They've got a while.
Eventually, they're all arguing, and it's clear that what's coming out is something along the lines of, "Oh, we could. That's a terrible idea. You're a bad pet. Stop it. No. What about this? That's a terrible idea. God." And they're all just arguing, until eventually the woman who speaks English sort of turns around and goes, "Yeah, we can get you to Rome."
Cool.
Put the one I've in my hand back in the bag.
She winces just a little bit.
Well,
you got to give us a little bit of time.
How much time?
She takes a moment. She can't consult a watch. She doesn't have one. When is it? When are we?
Oh, I don't know. About 2 o'clock?
Tomorrow morning.
Where shall I meet you? Tomorrow morning.
Joe. No, you won't know. Where do you know in Damascus?
Point on the map on the wall.
All right, yeah. She goes over. And she just points at a nondescript street quite close to where they are now.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning?
Right.
Dawn?
First light?
Yep.
Good. You get to keep what's on the table. For your no-shows, I will hunt all of you down individually and get my money back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The others sort of wait expectantly. She turns around, translates, and they all look really, really sad. And then she goes over and places herself between them and gently starts sweeping the gold into a bag.
Just to make my point, I knock an arrow, light it with holy fire, and fire it into the ceiling.
She puts the gold back out from the bag onto the table where the others can see it.
Good. I'm not joking.
You might want to put that out.
Bye!
So. It's so effective.
Yeah, I could happily listen to you do this. But
I really just like. There's a real Harlequin base beneath this one. I think you should have pursued that.
I just started digging.
There's trapdoors all the way down. Yeah.
So, what's your current plan until tomorrow morning? Presumably,
prepare. I buy rations. I buy bits and pieces.
All the stuff everyone else should have prepared.
Healing potions.
With this in mind, then. Potions are big ticket items, so they're ones where I'm just going to need you to tell me how many you buy, because you could blow through all of your gold for, like, 10.
Well, I will get 10 potions of Cure Serious Wounds. For those counting, it was 7,500 gold. I have 2,400 gold left.
My word!
At which point, then, you're wanting to basically stock up on as much mundane items as people are realistically going to need?
Yes, although, like, I don't know much about Rome. Can I make, like, a knowledge religion check to check if there's, like,
absolutely.
Anything special?
Yeah, absolutely.
Beyond, like, tents and ropes compasses and things. However, I got a mighty 13.
A mighty 13 is enough to know it might genuinely be worth investing in, and it sounds silly, a holy symbol for, like, a few of the gods that you think are going to be a good, like, ally in this case to maybe dish out amongst the party might be worth it, and they're not particularly expensive.
Okay. I buy one holy symbol of Aphrodite and 3 holy symbols of Artemis.
At which point then, yeah, for the rest of the equipment, realistically, I'll give you Schrodinger's Adventurer's Kit for 250 gold.
Cool.
But that isn't going to include, I mean, very carefully in this one, you do not get the collapsible bathtub. That is a high-ticket item.
I will survive. So I do that, and I check in on Wild in an uninteresting fashion, unless he has anything particularly interesting.
I do need to know, do you tell him about the Harlequin group, and do you tell him about you're heading off in the morning and blah, 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 blah?
I tell him I'm heading off in the morning.
I'm not going to bother RPing it. We will just return to you in the morning, I think, unless you die in the night.
Do I die in the night, Alex?
You don't.
Cool. At first light, I go to the place marked on the map.
That's fine. I'm going to return to the rest of the group. Could everyone please give me a perception check for your search of the area for hostages?
18.
18 from Azu.
25.
25 from Sasha.
20 total.
20 total from Hamid. So, Azu and Hamid, out of the three of you, you two both notice like what I'm about to describe. Sasha gets extra. Mm-hmm. As you're working your way through this complex, it becomes readily apparent this is not a big secret base full of death monsters and full of things trying to get you. Mostly what it is really empty, really old, and a bit manky. However, you do start noticing these little sort of glints of light and colour around the place. At first, you're not really paying attention. Like, you'll have a look and it's like, oh, a bit of moisture, something like that. And then at some point, you actually get a close look and you realise there are tiny copies of that wibbly-wobbly thing dotted throughout this complex. And by tiny, I'm talking like really tiny, like size of a uncut diamond, you know, just a little speck kind of thing. Like, you know, you can get, like, basically diamond dust is what I'm talking about.
It's like, uncut diamonds can be any size.
Yeah, so what I'm talking about is the stuff where it's, like, it's so small, you can't see the thing, you just see the light that it's giving off. Yeah. Eventually, you do start to notice a couple of bigger ones. Sasha, you specifically start looking out for them and notice that they get denser the closer you are to the main atrium. Mm. There's no way you would have noticed it if you weren't sort of hunting around. But once you do start, like, looking with them in mind and taking the time to, like, there's a bit of light, I'll lift up that floorboard, you start finding bigger ones, some maybe the size of your fist, things like that.
Can I see anything about the world that's on the other side?
Yes.
Does it look like it might be the sort of thing that the hostages are being kept
it
there?
It takes a weird turn when the first time you see Ed, of all things. Really, really close up to it. like really close up.
Yeah.
And then you go to another one that's maybe a bit smaller, but like size of, say, a keyhole, and you look through that one, and you see Ed from really far away and underneath. Like, there doesn't seem to be any correlation of space from where these things are and the angles that you're seeing in.
Impressive.
At which point, you then find a larger one, the biggest one that you found. It's about the size of a football. Obviously, you're not shoving your head in or anything, but, like, the one, the big major tear appeared to have a lot more distortions going on than the other ones. Mm. And for that one, you do definitely get a glimpse of one of the hostages, apparently also frozen. They are in a sitting position with a blindfold on, but you can just get a glance of Hamid's little brother.
She calls Hamid over.
This took, by the way, like a couple of hours, because once you saw a bit of Ed, it was like, there will be a big one. This place is huge, and finding something football-sized in an utterly random location took a while.
Right. They're being kept wherever these gates open. And they're fine. Look. And point out. Look, he's all right.
I look through.
Eventually, with Sasha sort of pointing out and giving you a leg up because it's right up in a corner of a room and halfway in the actual wall and stuff, it's like, oh yeah, you see it. It is your brother.
And is he also frozen?
Yes. Yeah. It takes a while to like determine it, but yeah.
Okay, we have to get the professor. He might know how to repair the spell. The gate spell's malfunctioned somehow, but he might be able to help us work out how to get through it safely without getting frozen too.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, good idea.
That's what we do.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get.
Okay, so you go grab Einstein. He's there, and like you open the door, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna get you!" So, oh hey, hey,
hello.
Because you're okay, Professor.
So, did we win or are we running?
Neither.
Okay.
Come with us.
Okay.
And I start explaining on the way.
Am I coming with you quietly or kind of okay?
There were some enemies around. We saw two. Sasha said she saw four.
What were they?
Yeah.
I bet they were Roman.
They're screamy things with tentacles.
Screamy things with tentacles. Okay.
They look and they can affect your mind and they've got.
Oh,
they made me go cold.
Yeah.
Made you go cold. Okay.
They're part of the cult of Hades. But yeah, so it looks like in the centre of the main atrium in the building there is a gate spell that's gone wrong in some
way.
And our other friend, the paladin, he ran into it and he seems to be frozen on the membrane.
Of course he
planes.
Did. Einstein doesn't appear to be upset. He's like, yes, that is a very logical statement that you said, which makes sense with what I know of the man.
If anyone's going to understand that concept, it is Einstein. But we also we saw shattered pieces of the same gate spell leading into the same place from other perspectives, and through some of them we can see the people that were taken from us, the hostages.
Okay.
So it looks like there's some other plane that they were in the middle of transporting, it's gone wrong.
Okay, anyway, that's a lot of speaking. Okay.
Come and study this with us, and we can try and see what we can work out.
He heads up with you into the atrium. Oh, it's like wibbly and kind of wobbly, eh?
Yeah.
So you said there were other ones, yeah?
Yeah, Sasha spotted them.
You want to see them?
Show me one.
Show him the football one.
Yeah. Oh, hello. What are you? Oh, this is so bad. This is, like, really bad.
Do you mean bad like it's badly done, or bad like we can't fix it?
First one, then the other. Wow.
It does seem like magic works better in this building than outside this building, though.
You think so?
Oh, does it? He immediately tries to cast a spell. A bunch of flowers appear in his hand. Oh, cool. He then clicks his fingers again. They burst into flame. Cool!
I am going to...
Channel positive energy. Heal
yes,
everyone.
Yes, do that. I'm going to
do
that.
Oh, I should have mentioned that sooner. My bad.
I'm channeling positive energy, which is 3d6 in a 30-foot area.
Uh-huh. So it heals everyone in range.
Yay.
If you want to not be healed, you have to have a will save of 16.
Or if there's any cheeky undead, they get hurt.
Nice.
No, not nice at all.
No, it's terrible. Everyone takes that amount of damage as I describe what happens.
What?
Yeah.
I hate you. I actually...
You know how I said a while ago, you tried to reach out for your guard and there was no one there, and then just for that moment there was, but it wasn't who you were reaching for?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, they're very much like... Hello.
All right, Kafka.
Yeah, I know, right? You don't... Like, there's no speech to you or anything, but let's put it this way. You reach...
Have I killed you?
You reach out for a little bit of healing, and what you get, it's a lot of hurting. And it basically completely...
Ow! I think I'm undead again! Healing hurt me!
If you imagine, if you imagine channeling positive energy as, like, opening a door to a good place and letting some good things out... You open the door. Oh, it's a bad place. Something kicks the door in and... It hurts.
How much?
A lot. It hurts because I'm feeling generous as much as you try to channel positive energy. However...
Everyone takes 8 damage.
It also apparently knocks Azu out.
Oh, dear.
From everyone else's perspective, Azu's basically like, it's fine, I'll heal you all. Everyone's hurt. Bump.
That didn't work, you guys.
Wow.
That spell.
Your healing is terrible. Oh, my God.
So it seems like divine magic maybe doesn't work the same as arcane magic building.
Einstein, you any good at healing with arcane?
I mean, no. I could teleport you to a healer.
That sounds great.
Or explode you, I mean. Oh. Oh,
that's true. Try, I mean, can you teleport an object and see what happens?
I mean, yeah, but if it explodes, I'll die.
I don't think teleporting is very sensible while the gate spell has malfunctioned and appears to be affecting the entire building.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah, with the membrane between worlds.
It'd be really awkward if I destroyed the whole world.
Extreme tension.
Trying to teleport like a pot or something. I'd never live it down, you know? Everyone would be like, what happened to reality? And they'd be like, oh, Einstein tried to move a pot again. And I'll be like, ah. Oh.
Exactly, who would be surprised?
You know, like, oh, I could do without that press, you know?
Azu, are you okay?
Am I conscious?
Einstein goes, it's okay, I have a plan.
Is he going to kick me?
Azu! He grabs you and starts shaking. Azu, wake up! Wake up! You have to wake up, and you do.
You're okay.
Hello.
Azu, you're okay.
There's a very, very hairy man very close to your face going, hello.
Ah, she says again.
Ah, you're terrible at healing.
No, I'm not.
No, you really, really are. Really
it's
terrible.
This place, it's
definitely
with.
The place. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
A bad workman blames his eldritch horrors.
Yes, because eldritch horrors are the worst.
They are. They're terrible.
Right, so we should try and sort out this gate spell if we can. Repair the tear in reality, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
You any good
he
at
just
that?
Starts going into the atrium. Probably.
I mean, that's a spell you can cast, right, Professor? You probably understand it better than I do.
I mean, it might have to be a spell I can invent, but okay. He's just kind
I mean,
of
gate
heads
is
down.
A spell you can cast. Right?
Technically, yes. I can cast other spells. Einstein's the leader of a school. Of course I can cast other spells.
Gate's quite similar to teleportation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's basically the same. I'm fine. I've got this. He kind of goes to the atrium and then adopts what he thinks is a pensive academic pose in front of it.
I don't think he's got this.
Talk me through your thinking, Professor. It's sometimes helpful to bounce stuff off an assistant.
The thing about a gate is, you know, it's very... gatey. And sometimes, you know, you need to close a gate. So what you do when you close a gate, you find an assistant and you tell them to close the gate. Or you could with the... Yeah, I've got... It's fine. It'll take a little while. Just give me... It's fine.
Okay, just... But let's not do anything until we're all ready.
Oh, no. Yeah, sure.
I'll pull the other guys just a bit away and say,
what do we do? Doesn't seem like he does have a good idea.
I mean, I could go into the gate. Like, it looks frozen, but what I bet it is, I once dealt with this trap, right, where it just slowed you down super, super slow. And so, like, my mate, Six Knives Jimmy, like, he went in. We thought he was dead, right? But no, it just, like, he turned up, like, several years later. We'd taken his knives by then, though. So we just called him Weirdly Young Jimmy.
Einstein suddenly yells from the atrium, you throw a rock through the window! That's how you get past the gate!
Yeah,
yes!
Do you want me
good.
To be a rock?
Okay.
You're saying we should open a different dimensional portal to the same space?
Sure! That's better than what I was thinking. Let's do that! Yes, okay. Yeah, I can probably do that.
Would it be safe to do that here? Do we have...
God, no! God, no!
But we know
God.
That any magic we try outside this building has a very high chance of going wrong anyway due to the...
Oh, yeah.
Where should we try to do that?
Ooh. Azu comes from a pretty cool place.
You think we should leave Rome behind?
We can't get there fast enough, can we?
I mean...
We're not even sure we can get out of
Rome.
We
should teleport back to Damascus, pick up Grizzop, and then...
But we don't know if the teleporting will work, and also...
You know what we need to do? We need to find out where this plane is.
Yes, that would be very helpful.
Do you have any kind of laboratory with you? Maybe like some kind of planar specialist, or maybe, you know, another skilled wizard who also knows loads of spells.
No.
We didn't plan at all, did we?
Well, it was really a spur of the moment decision.
Yeah.
We had to
Most things that end the world kind of are, you know. No one sets out to blow up the world, but here we are.
But this is not exactly the situation we were anticipating encountering.
I'll go see if I can find one of them wizard things. Maybe they'll talk.
They might kill you.
A lot of things might kill me, Azu, including boredom.
Then I'm coming with you.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll stay here then and try and work this out.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
You
we'll figure it out.
You did the academic stuff.
Think about some magical
we'll
things.
We'll go kill some dudes. But, like, not fully kill them so they can tell us stuff.
I don't know if they speak our languages, though.
I am going to jump to Grizzop. I'm going to jump to Grizzop the following morning.
I arrive at the place. Unless I am waylaid by brigands.
You are not waylaid by brigands.
Good.
You head to the place and eventually you see someone in a big white hat and a big coat, and you realise it's probably the same hat and coat that the person was wearing.
Yes, they have one.
One hat.
And they sort of like, look left, look right. There's a couple of people around. It's still quite a quiet area. A couple of them look at them really suspiciously, but carry on about their business and they're like, psst.
Hey, what, chaps? That's really conspiratorial. You probably want to lose the hat and coat.
They start giving,
you...
like, hand signals that mean nothing to you.
I'm walking up to them.
It makes you more
they
obvious.
They give more fierce hand signals.
You don't speak English. Where am I going?
Start pointing in places.
Finally, they're looking at you. You realise it's the boy who was there earlier, the much, much 14-year-old, yeah. The younger one. And then they're, like, giving you all these hand signals that mean nothing, and then they hold up a piece of paper.
Take it.
The first thing it says in really terribly spelt, really badly written English is, eat this after reading. It then says, you'll find a woman in a red coat. Ask her what time it is. She'll tell you more.
Oh. These fine. Guys are amazing.
Fine. Yeah, fine. Right. Cool. Bye.
But they might all deserve a good old Grizzop murdering.
They
don't deserve murdering. They're just incompetent.
The kid gives what he thinks is a salute, but it's not really any kind of formal salute, so it's more kind of like a hand to the chest and maybe the head and kind of twisted it, and then he just kind of loses it halfway and then runs off.
Right.
Suddenly the Discworld.
Yeah, well that was the Damascan People's Front.
Yeah, you wanted the People's Front of Damascus. That's where you went wrong.
What have the Meritrats ever done for us?
Give me a perception check.
Nat 20.
Wow.
You can see a woman in a red coat waiting in a nearby alley, ready to walk past.
Hello! Oi! What's the time?
They kind of look a bit nonplussed and then decide to press on regardless and then start acting like they haven't seen you and you haven't seen them.
I walk up to them.
Oi! What's the time?
They try to turn so that you're back to back and then...
I will grab them by the collar, drag them down to my level and go, what is the time?
You have a hard time pulling them down because it's just the burly bar woman.
Okay, sorry.
In a big red coat.
I'll revise that. I jump to reach the collar.
That's fine.
I either pull her down or hang off and pull myself up to
her
level.
It's better.
What is the time?
They hand you a piece of paper.
Oh!
It says, eat this after reading at the top.
It's a scavenger hunt.
I will not let go of them and read it with the other hand.
Oh, sorry, it says...
What does it say?
At the top, obviously, it says, eat after reading.
Yeah.
And then after it, it says something... Let me get it right. A fountain's a lovely place for a walk. Buy some food. I'm sure you'll find someone to share it with.
I will look her dead in the eyes and shove the paper into her.
Bye!
And drop down and go find a fountain.
Okay. You don't have to look far. It's like 200 metres away, maybe? Like, it's not even far side of the city. It's like, yeah, it'll be that one.
Alex,
yeah, it's
this is
that
the
one.
Best stuff you've ever read.
So, you...
Is there a food stall?
You know what? There is.
Okay, cool. I walk up.
I will have one of those, please.
This person doesn't speak English, but yeah, they're happy to serve you, and you get basically a wrap.
Cool. I'll give them some money.
For what it's worth, they don't appear to be so incompetent a conspirator that they are conspicuous.
Oh. I do wish I had somebody to share this with.
And I will start walking around the fountain in a circle holding the wrap up. I'm just marching around with it held over my head.
Only like within like 2 minutes of you marching around the fountain.
Somebody would share this with me.
Sat against the fountain is a open bracket beggar. Close brackets, who you literally see you go, oh, adjust their clothing a bit, and then go, oh, and they're like gesturing for arms and stuff.
Please tell me they've at least gone as far as in their bowl there is a note.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, thank goodness. I'll take the note and put the wrap in it.
Right.
The person starts eating the wrap, obviously. Eat this note after reading. Sometimes friends will bring you back to their homes for a good warm meal.
Oh! Oh my god!
I'm just gonna look at the beggar and go,
this one doesn't have any directions! Is it you?
The beggar finishes eating the
Take me home.
Wrap and starts, you know.
Right, fine!
I'll put the scrambled up note in their begging bowl.
Okay, they begin walking you. It's really clear that they're not a beggar, by the way. Like, you can see decent clothes underneath, like, a single tattered shawl. It becomes readily apparent that they're leading you back to the pub. Thing is, all characters have to suffer, Ben. It's just that yours took a bit more work.
You're just making the audience suffer.
Whole time that they needed to, like, they were like, oh, we need some time. It was just because they wanted to make the plan.
So you're heading to the pub.
Yes.
They immediately lead you back to the sacking that covers the trap door.
Yep.
They look around. They go to reach it. They stop. They look around. They go back to the street to see if they're being followed. They come back.
All right.
Walk back.
I'm going to grab this person, rifle through their clothes, and try and find another sealed wax thing.
You can't. You do find their homework, which they still have. Apparently they're in some kind of night school. But apart
from
that...
They're learning to be a knight!
They appear to be learning English. There you go. But no, in all seriousness, they have nothing of worth or interest on them at all.
I kind of roughly rifle through their pockets, find the homework, feel kind of bad, and just give it back to them.
Get on with it!
Does he start doing his homework?
I was tempted, right. But I've already established that they don't share the language. Yeah. They're just like, and then just kind of sheepishly lift up the sacking and go down.
Thank you.
As you approach the door, you hear an incredibly cultured voice on the other side of it going, woman's voice, sorry. I swear, if you do anything else of this level of incompetence, I might actually arrange for all of you to be disappeared.
Kick in the door.
Did you kick it in last time? Is the door still there? Is it not just...
It's propped up. You knock it down again.
I've got a bow and arrow knocked.
And all I'm going to describe is that you see an incredibly, incredibly, like, beautiful-looking woman, incredibly well-dressed. The rest of the room kind of warps around her, and she looks at you, and you just have one perfect shared moment of utter disdain and hatred for the nonsense that you've both had to go through to be in this place at this time.
Fair.
And I'll end the episode there. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Thinking about making horrible noises into a microphone before recording Stella Firma, Tim and I do tongue boot camp.
What is that? Ah!
I couldn't see it, but I got a sense from your guys' reaction.
While we're doing this, can you pass me the book so I can check what's in a paladin's kit?
I'm gonna guess holy symbol.
Yes, I remember I have a holy symbol, a simple one or an iron one or something.
One holy book of your denomination of choice.
Kama Sutra.
Some. That's amazing. Kama Sutra and a Milton Boot.
And a bunch of Cosmo sex tips.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.